Welcome to this beginner Ableton Live 12 lesson, where we're going to tighten up a jungle sampler rack and push it into that rag-infused, chaotic, high-energy zone. The vibe here is not just to throw vocal chops around and hope for the best. We want those chops to feel snappy, playable, and locked to the beat, like a hype MC getting sliced straight into the rhythm of a rolling jungle break. Messy energy, yes. Sloppy timing, no way. First, set your project tempo to 174 BPM. That's a classic jungle and drum and bass speed, and it gives the whole idea the right kind of urgency. At this tempo, chopped vocals naturally start to feel alive against the drums. If the tempo is too slow, it loses that frantic push. Too fast, and the groove can feel rushed. 174 is a great starting point. Now, grab some source material. You want short vocal phrases, ragga shouts, one-word hype calls, little yeah moments, wheel-up style lines, anything with attitude. If you've got longer phrases, that's fine too, because we're going to trim and shape them. The best samples for this kind of thing usually have clear transients and a strong personality, even when they're chopped down small. Let's start by dragging one of your samples into an audio track, so we can warp it properly. Turn warp on in the clip view. For longer ragga vocal lines, try Complex Pro. That helps keep the vocal sounding natural when it's stretched or tightened. For shorter, punchier shouts, Beats can work really well because it keeps the attack more percussive. Now zoom in and check the start of the sample. This is a huge beginner tip. Make sure the first transient starts exactly where it should. If there is silence before the hit, the chop can feel late, even if the timing looks okay on paper. In jungle, tiny timing problems become very obvious because the drums are already moving so fast. Clean start points matter a lot. If the sample feels smeared or loose, reduce extra warp markers you don't need and trim away any dead space at the front. We want the chop to fire immediately. Think fast attack, short decay, controlled release. That's the shape we're after. Now create a MIDI track and load a drum rack onto it. This is where the rack becomes playable. Drag each vocal chop into a separate pad. Keep things simple at first. 4 to 8 pads is plenty for a beginner setup. Label them clearly so you always know what's what. For example, one pad might be yeah, another wheel up, another come on, another selecta. The reason drum rack works so well here is that it turns vocal samples into something you can actually perform and sequence like drums. You're not just playing back audio. You're building an instrument. That means you can write patterns, shape each hit, and make the whole thing respond to your beat. When you drop a sample into a drum rack pad, Ableton usually loads it into Simpler. That's where we tighten each sound. Set Simpler to one-shot mode and turn trigger on. One-shot makes the sample play through cleanly when you hit a MIDI note, and trigger makes it respond immediately. Then shorten the decay so the sample stops cleanly instead of hanging around too long. As a starting point, try a decay somewhere around 150 to 350 milliseconds for chopped vocal stabs. If it's meant to be a short accent, keep it very tight. If it's a phrase-ending hit, you can let it ring a tiny bit more. Also check the start control, so there's no extra silence at the front. If the sample has a soft attack and you want more bite, you can enable snap or tweak the start position until it feels more percussive. This is one of the biggest ideas in this lesson. The rack should feel like a set of rhythmic accents, not a pile of long samples. In jungle, shorter is often better. If the sample still sounds good when you chop it down hard, that's usually a sign it'll work well. Next, let's shape the tone. A simple stock device chain can go a long way. A good starting chain for each pad is EQ8, saturator, auto filter, and utility. EQ8 is there to clean up mud. Most vocal chops don't need much low end, so try cutting below 100 to 150 Hz. If the sample is harsh, you can gently pull back some of the upper mids around 2.5 to 5 kHz. If it feels dull, add a little presence instead. The goal is to clean it up without making it sterile. Jungle vocals should still feel gritty and alive. Then add saturator for a bit of controlled aggression. You don't need loads. Even 1 to 5 dB of drive can help the chop sit better over dense drums and bass. Turn soft clip on if needed, and compensate the output so you're not just making it louder by accident. This is about attitude and density, not just volume. After that, use auto filter for movement. A low-pass filter is a great place to start. Set the cutoff somewhere in the mid-range and adjust by ear. If you want a darker ragga character, close it down more. If you want more energy and brightness, open it up. A little resonance can give the chop a more nasal, vocal quality, which can sound really cool in this style. Then use utility to control gain and stereo width. For most short vocal chops, keep them fairly centered. If the sound gets too wide, It can blur the groove. A width setting around 80 to 100% is a safe place to begin, depending on the sample. Utility is also just great for keeping levels under control before they hit the next device or the master bus. Now let's make this playable with macros. Group the rack and map some key controls to macros. A really useful setup is something like this. Brightness to auto filter cutoff, grit to saturator drive, tightness to simpler decay, space to reverb or delay send, width to utility stereo width, and throw to echo amount. That gives you live control over the character of the whole rack. If you want space, keep it controlled. In jungle, too much reverb can blur the whole groove instantly. A short reverb return is usually better than putting huge reverb directly on every pad. Try a return track with a small reverb, around half a second to just over a second of decay, some pre-delay, and cuts on the low end and high end so it stays out of the way. A tempo-synced echo on another return can be great for one-off throws. Keep the feedback low and darken the repeats so they don't clutter the rhythm. Now it's time to write a basic pattern. Don't think of it as a full melody. Think of it like call and response. The drums make a statement, and the vocal chops answer. A great beginner move is to place hits on off beats, the end of two, the end of four, or a pickup before the next bar. Leave gaps. The silence is part of the groove. For example, you might place a yeah on beat one, a come on the end of two, a wheel on the end of four, then leave the start of the second bar empty before dropping in an up or a rewind-style hit later in the phrase. That little bit of space lets the breakbeat breathe. It also makes each chop feel more intentional. This is where velocity becomes really useful. Make some chops hit harder and some softer. Even a simple three-level velocity pattern can make the rack feel more human. Loud hits feel like shouts, softer ones feel like replies or background chatter. That contrast gives the pattern attitude. You can also use the groove pool if you want a little swing. Try a light MPC-style groove or a subtle groove pulled from a breakbeat. Apply it to the MIDI clip. Then keep the timing amount modest, around 15 to 35%. Too much swing can make the chops feel like they're dragging behind the beat. You want bounce, not wobble. Now listen to the rack with drums and bass together, not solo. That's another big coach note here. A chop that sounds huge by itself may suddenly feel crowded once the beat is playing. Test everything in context. Jungle is all about how the parts fit together. Try placing your vocal hits in the spaces around the snare, not constantly on top of it. In drum and bass, the snare is often the anchor, so let it breathe. If you do stack a vocal with the snare, do it on purpose for impact. Otherwise, let the vocal answer the snare instead of fighting it. To keep the arrangement moving, automate some of your macros across the track. Open the filter more in a drop. Close it down in an intro. Throw a bit more delay at the end of a phrase. Add a reverse chop before a transition. Those little changes keep the rack feeling alive. Jungle loves motion, and automation is how you get that sense of progression without needing a totally new sample every 8 bars. Here's a simple arrangement idea. In the intro, use filtered vocal fragments and occasional delay tails. In the drop, use tight vocal stabs and keep the pattern sparse enough to hit hard. In the middle section, add a few more call and response moments and more space effects. In the breakdown, strip it back to one or two chops. Then for the second drop, make it more aggressive with a little more saturation, a brighter filter, and maybe one extra fill phrase. If you want to level this up even more, create a second version of the rack that acts like a response layer. Make it quieter, darker, and slightly more restrained. Then use the main rack for bigger calls and the second rack for softer answers. That's a great way to create depth without overcrowding the mix. And here's a really useful beginner challenge. Build a four-pad Raga jungle rack with yeah, come again, wheel up, and selecta. Set each pad to one shot, process them with EQ8, saturator, and auto filter, and write a 2-bar MIDI loop with offbeat hits, one empty space for tension, and one repeated phrase. Then automate one parameter, like filter cutoff or delay send. If it feels like a live MC slicing into the break, you're on the right track. So the big takeaway is this. In jungle and drum and bass, your sampler rack should feel tight, rhythmic, and alive. You want the raw excitement of Raga vocals, but disciplined by clean timing and smart envelope shaping. Keep the chops short. Keep the groove clear. Leave space for the snare. And let the rack punch through the break like it's part of the drum pattern itself. If you want, I can also turn this into a shorter voiceover version, or make it sound more like a hike radio DJ, more like a comm teacher, or more like a step-by-step workshop host.